I want to talk tonight, by the help of the Lord, on the most important part of our Christian life. It is something that you and I are going to be doing sometimes several times a day, maybe several times a week, depending on what the situation is, the burdens and so forth. But there's something that is an absolute must. It's not something that we might do. It's something we're going to have to do if we're really going to live for God. Let's go to Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, please. 19th verse, we'll start reading. Hear thou, my son, and be wise. Guide thy heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall close a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee. Despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. The father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Now, there are some very good scriptures right here, but I want to deal with the last one that we read. My son, give me thine heart. Now, I don't know if Brother Salmon's got this from this scripture, but I've heard him say something like this in his dealings, God dealing with him. My son, give me thine heart. I've read this scripture, but it never soaked in till the last couple of days when it really hit home to me that this was actually scripture. My son, the Lord wants everybody's heart. He wants them to give, to totally give, to totally surrender everything they have to God. He wants their heart. He wants their whole heart. He doesn't want a half-hearted service. He don't want just a part job. He wants a complete, total, roundabout, given, totally surrendering to God the whole heart. Praise God. My son, give me thine heart. Tonight, have you give your heart to God? If you're not living for God, have you thought about, considered in this meeting that you need to get saved and live for God? I'm going to tell you, if people can get a heart, if a man can get a woman's heart, a woman can get a man's heart, they fall in love and they become in love with one another. I'm going to tell you, those two people, when they have one another's heart, get out of the way everybody else. They want only that person. They're not interested in anybody else. They don't want to go running after another woman or another man. They only want the individual that they've fallen in love with. Listen tonight, the great God of heaven, the one Sister Lewis was singing about, the Jesus of Nazareth, the one that loves you tonight, he wants you to give him your heart. Praise God. He wants all of your heart, praise the Lord. He wants you to surrender and turn loose and run from sin with your life. And if you'll do that tonight, there won't be no running after the world. There won't be no chasing after sin. They'll be living for God every day and loving God along the way. My son, give me thine heart. That's what we need to do. That's what we've got to do. Give your heart to God and let thine eyes observe my ways. Observe God tonight. In the 23rd verse is a favorite scripture of mine. He said, buy the truth and sell it not. Wisdom and also wisdom and instruction and understanding. I'm going to tell you tonight, let us observe all of God. His wisdom, His instruction, His knowledge, His truth, everything about Jesus, observe and look at and consider and weigh and think about, meditate upon. Let God feed you and challenge you and stir you and convict you and edify and bless you with the Word of God, with the very presence of God, with the very blessings of God. And that way you will have something that will be permanent, something that will be a blessing. I'm going to tell you, the world don't have anything to give us, bless God. The world's going to fall away. The world is corruption and sin. The world is bad things. But I'm going to tell you, the love and the mercy, the wisdom, the power, the glory, and the workings of the Spirit of God is the greatest thing you and I can observe and go after. Oh, Lord, help us tonight. Observe my ways. Have you ever gone to a mall and sat out and watched people? Looked at them? Wife and I was privileged to make a trip to Hawaii. My sister's working over there at the time. I had a free trip. So we went. And we went to a park one evening. And there was two children there. And Becky and I examined some different flowers in the grass and so forth. And then we sat down on a bench and we watched the children play in the creek. And they were just splashing and playing and having a good time. And Mom and Daddy showed up and come on, children, and so forth. But I'm going to tell you, you can observe and see things by watching other people. But you can see the most by watching God. You can see what God can do. Observe what God does in the lives of other people. Look at the heavens, like Brother Marty is preaching. The glory of God is radiated by everything out there. And you and I need to look and consider and weigh out all that God has done. I'm going to tell you, you can never get to the bottom. You can never search deep enough and know far enough all about God. Oh, Lord, help us tonight. Help us to observe God. Help us to observe all that He is. Oh, my son, give me thine heart. Have you done that tonight? Have you given Him your full heart tonight? Is He calling after you and begging you and pleading with you? Son, give me thine heart. I want to bless you. I want to help you. I'm going to tell you, when I was under conviction, there was a time there one day, I was sitting at the end of the table, Mama on one end, and I was on the other, this pretty good sized table, and the other children in between us, and I was sitting there and tears were streaming down my eyes, and Mama looked down and said, "What's wrong with you?" Well, I didn't know all about it, but I was under conviction. I was being dealt with by the very power of Jesus Christ, and I was under conviction. I was fighting it. I was kind of running, and it took me a while, but finally, God, I'm thankful tonight that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, when I drove home from the station after 3 hours with Loydeck talking and pleading with me and begging me to surrender and give up, I've been under conviction for quite a while, and I wouldn't give up, I wouldn't surrender, I wouldn't bow my knees to Jesus, and He talked and He pleaded and He begged me. He said, "If you'll just kneel down here, Carl, you can get saved here tonight." And I wouldn't do it. But thank God, the Jesus of Nazareth that I know now didn't stay at the station, but He rode on home with me that night. And I got out and went in. Well, while I was going home, He kept talking. Thank the Lord. He kept talking to me and dealing with me. And I wanted to be a very wealthy man. And He told me there's people that can be so wealthy and He can take all their wealth in a moment of time. Then He showed me, He said, "You can be," even though I was very young, I was about 18 at the time, I guess. I was born 53, I was 18 and at the time, and I was gone. And He said, "Life can be taken out in a moment of time, and you'll be gone." You want to die that away? No, I didn't want to die that away. And He kept talking, and I got home, and I went to bed. It was midnight, about that time. All the rest of the family was asleep, far as I know. I eased in, got ready for bed, and laid down, and I couldn't go to sleep. I wrestled and turned a little bit, and I finally decided it's time to take care of this. It's time to give my heart to God. And I rolled out of bed and I started confessing and begging and pleading and forsaking. And I don't know what all I said or what all I done, but I know that night I met Jesus, praise God. I met Him. He washed me and cleansed me and changed me and done something. He gave me a happiness that I'd been wanting. I watched the young people. I watched them be happy. I watched them have good times. And I had money. I had possessions. My dad did anyway. I wasn't rich. But we had different things. And I was pretty well fixed. But there's one thing, young people, I didn't have, and that was the happiness that the rest of them had. Young people, show that happiness. Show that joy. Show that peace. Demonstrate it by a life of glory by God to your companions, to your friends, to the ones around you. I'm going to tell you, people want a happy life. And I wanted something happy that I didn't have, but I got it that night. Praise God, and I thank the Lord for it. Praise God. All right, let's go to 1 Chronicles 29. As I tell them at home, you pray, I'll preach. By the help of the Lord. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for the things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, the wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of divers colors and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I've set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I prepared for the holy house. Even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses therewithal. The gold for things of gold and silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hand of the artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate this his service this day unto the Lord? Amen. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams and of silver 10,000 talents and of brass 18,000 talents and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jeuel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. There, wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers, our days on the earth, as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store have we, that we have prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name, cometh of thine own hand, and is all thine own. Now, what my real burden tonight is, have tonight is on consecration. Consecration. Webster says to make or declare to be sacred by certain ceremonies or rites. To appropriate to sacred uses, to set apart, to dedicate, to devote to the service and worship of God, as to consecrate a church, consecrate a bishop. To devote to the sacred or high purpose, to hallow, it's sacred, it's consecrated, it's devoted, it's dedicated. Consecration is the act of consecrating, the state of being consecrated or dedication. And dedicate means to appropriate to any person or purpose to give wholly or earnestly up to. Now he said here in the fifth verse, and here it is that he's talking about David, and they're fixed to build the temple, and God told David that he was a man of war and shed a lot of blood. He couldn't build it. But your son Solomon could build it. But that didn't stop David from giving very willingly of all that he could to help in the building of this building. This temple was to be made. It was to be quite a temple, I understand. And he said there, and who then is willing this day to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Dear ones, tonight consecration is the bedrock of your living for God. If you and I do not consecrate and keep consecrating and keep it all on the altar, folks, we're going to have problems. Because God needs to take people. He needs to work people. The church of God is no greater than their consecration. It's just that way. Listen, if you and I do not offer willingly, give ourselves wholly. Give me thine heart. I need your heart. I don't need you just to save it. I need to sanctify it. I need to fill you. I need to work with you and do things that I can't do otherwise. And so consequently tonight, who then is willing to consecrate, who is willing to give, to turn loose, to surrender willingly everything they got to God tonight. The Lord wants to bless the church tonight, praise God. This is a very personal decision made by you, but prompted by the Word and Spirit. Oh, the Lord, He wants us to consecrate ourselves to God. To give, to surrender. You're no better than your own consecration. Everyone needs to make this decision quickly. The greatest decision you will make is your consecration to God. To give to God, to surrender to God. People out there, they want to do things for God, but how's their consecration tonight? Are they willing to turn loose, to surrender, to give everything to God? Praise the Lord. We need to consecrate it all, not just one part or two parts, but bless God like the old engine. He built the altar there, and he put everything in, and he wasn't getting anywhere, and he come back, and he put it all in the circle there, the rope, and he got it all in there, and he wasn't getting anywhere. And finally, the Lord spoke to the dear Indian, and he said, what you need to do is put you in there. I'm going to tell you, we need to get in the circle of God's love, and turn loose and surrender, and give it all to Jesus in everything, praise God, not holding back anything. Give Him the billfold, give Him the heart, the mind, the soul, the wife, the children, the cars, the land, the homes, the boats, whatever it might be. We need to give all to Jesus, praise God. If God can have everything, this church will move on, praise God. There'll be people going to Africa. There'll be people going to Mexico. There'll be people going to missions, Brother Matt. You might even have some extra help down there. Oh, tonight, are we consecrated? Are you as consecrated as you need to be tonight? Oh, it's a must for living for God. Without this, you and I will never make it. When the Lord really enlightened my mind on this several years ago, matter of fact, I was Pastor Roger Guthrie, when the Lord began to really deal with me on this subject, and I'd already traveled and worked and labored for several years, and had practiced that, but I'm going to tell you, when He gave me this type of message, He began to show me, and I looked at the whole picture, and I thought, this is really the bottom line of the whole thing. Without this, a person that wants to live for God will never make it. Because God is going to call. God is going to ask. God is going to want. And if a person's not consecrated, it's going to stop it right there. We've got to do our part. This is our part of basically a two-part covenant. It is our part to do. This is also one way for us to defeat the devil. Amen. This is where we can whip the devil real good right here. Because we're crucifying the flesh and giving all to God. And the devil comes along and, no, you don't want to do that and you don't want to do this. Let me tell you, when the devil come along after his 40 days, and the devil come along and he tempted him here, the Lord said, what's the word say? I can't quote it quite. He's talking there, and the Lord basically took the word of God, and he took it and he whipped the devil with it. But let's get the fourth chapter here. It said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up in the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into a seating high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou fall down and worship me. And Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, number one, the devil didn't own anything to show God and give God anything. God owned it all. But here's the thing. The devil is showing a lot of young people exactly what he showed God. He's taking them and showing them all the wonders of the world. I'm going to tell you, like I said, I wanted to be a rich man. I charted my course out of way. I had a business. I was making money and so forth. I had a partner. I could see the big homes, a beautiful wife. I could see the cars and all these different things. But I'm going to, when Jesus come by, I begin to see there's a better way than this. Praise God. There's something better. Listen, young people, if he's showing you, you can't have a good home. If he's showing you, you can't have a pretty wife or a handsome husband. If he's showing you, you got to drive old red cars all the time. If he's showing you, you can't do this and you can't do that. Listen, defeat the devil, praise God. Jesus just wants you to give him everything. And God will bless you and help you. And he will take care of your need for the rest of your life. That's all he's asking of you, praise God. Oh, tonight. He is showing multitudes of young people, and I'm afraid this is where part of the problem is. Showing them the kingdoms of the world. And you're not going to have this, and you're not going to have that. Well, I'm going to tell you, Lord, help us tonight to defeat the devil. And let him give us what he wants us to have. I right now am living in the finest home I've ever owned. I have almost a brand new van I'm driving. I do have an older pickup, but ain't that bad. Just 100,000 miles, about 10 years old. It's getting along pretty good, Brother Michael. So I'm just happy. Got some money in the bank. Got a beautiful wife. I'm doing good. Got two children. Everything except my health ain't perfect. But I'm going to tell you tonight, I'm thankful I'm in God. I'm thankful to have one of God. I appreciate what the Lord has given me. He's given me way more than I could have probably gotten anyway. And I thank the Lord tonight for that. Lord, help us to give to God, to surrender to God, because Jesus wants to take and bless you and work with you. He wants to give you everything. You're supposed to worship the Lord thy God, and him shalt thou worship. All right, let's go to Matthew 26. Consecration is so serious. I remember one night several years ago, I used to work with Brother Egbert Allen. Some of you young people don't probably even know who I'm talking about. But the older ones do. Middle-aged people do. He and I worked together some. Started in 1980 and went through about the time we got married. And we worked a little after that. But we traveled together and we done things. And he called me one night and he wanted me to work with him. I was his driver. He was a blind preacher and I drove for him. And we would go here and there. We drove thousands of miles sometimes traveling and preaching and different places, all the way from Canada to Goulds and all the way from the west coast to the east coast. And we traveled a lot. And he asked me, he said, I got a burden to go to, I believe it was Goulds. He said, can you go? I already felt like the Lord had lined some things up for me. And so I wanted to do that. And he kept pleading and I kept turning him down. He pled and I turned him down. Finally, bless his heart, he said, Brother Carl, would you at least pray about it? I said, yes, sir, Brother Egbert, I'll pray about it. So I went to bed. I believe it was that night. And I laid there and the burden began to roll and roll and roll. It must have been a little after that because right after he called them, all these open doors started closing. They started shutting one at a time. I thought, I must be wrong on what I think I'm supposed to do. So one night there I went to bed and I had this, the Lord began to deal with me and work with me. I couldn't sleep. The burden was rolling. It was heavy. I finally rolled out of bed, got on my knees, and I said, Dear Lord, I said, I'll do anything. I'll go any place you want me to go. Praise God. If you want me in Goulds down there, I'll go to Goulds. If you want me in Akron Dayton, wherever you want me, Lord, I will go. I had to consecrate. I had to surrender all myself one more time to do what God wanted me to do. Listen, saints, tonight, that's what we've got to do. We've got to surrender daily sometime, maybe several times in a day in giving to God because His consecration is daily and sometime momentarily. When I got through doing all the consecrating, I said, now if you'd do me a favor and let me get some sleep, I'd appreciate it. I went back to bed and I went to sleep. Lord showed me what to do and we done it. We went here and we went there and we traveled, we preached and so forth. But I had to just surrender. I had to just consecrate. Lord, this is not my vessel, it's yours. I give it to God. This temple belongs to the Lord, saints. I'm going to tell you, give my son, give me thine heart. The Lord wants our heart. He wants our body. He wants our mind. He wants everything about us, praise God. He wants everything where He can take it and work with it. All right, the 26th chapter of Matthew and the 36th verse. Now some of this, Brother Marty's preached on some of this. Brother Larry's preached on some of this. I thought, well, they're just setting the stage for me. 26:36, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. He saith unto the disciples, Set ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and he findeth them asleep. And he saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went again. He went away again the second time, and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came, and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and he went away again, and he prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and he saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doeth betray me. O my Father, if it be possible, if it be possible, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. When they made the plan from the foundation of the world, Jesus knew he was coming to this place. He knew what he was going to face. He was able to see what you and I are not able to see. He could understand what we couldn't understand. He knew the horrors that you and I don't know. He knew the pain. He knew the suffering. He knew the anguish. As he looked upon it way back then, he knew what he was going to face. But the love of the fathers was expressed this afternoon. The love of the Lord was so great for your soul and mine that they were willing to give. He was willing to consecrate, dedicate, to surrender, to turn loose and give everything that he needed to make a plan that of great salvation that would bring joy to all mankind. Praise God. I'm thankful tonight. Even though the flesh did not want to be crucified, I'm thankful that he consecrated. Now, Brother Larry said this afternoon, I believe this was his sanctification right here. Well, I can agree with him, but I'm going to use the word consecration here. To me, this is the superb example of consecration in the Bible. This is a superb for you and I to pattern after and to look upon and to follow. Exactly. If we've got to go out in the garden and get away from everybody, no matter where it's at, we need to do this. We may do it many, many, many times in the time of our life. For the bottom line, Jesus, he was facing the suffering, horrible suffering. What's in that cup? What did he have to face? I'm going to tell you what was in that cup. They spit on him to start with. He saw that. They spit on him. How many of you would like to have that happen? Then they buffeted him and they smote him. They stripped him of his upper garment. He had a crown of thorns placed on his head. Oh, a crown of thorns that had thorns about an inch long that was sharp enough and strong enough to penetrate the outer part of the skull. And so they put that down on his head. Then they put a reed in his hand and they mocked him. And they smote him. And then they took him out and they beat him. They scourged him. I'm going to tell you that scourging was not anything of a mild matter. They didn't take a little rope whip and whip him. Those things were long. They had bones so faked in the end of these deals and so made that those things would rip right down through the skin. They'd even had it where there was hooks on it that it could pull the muscles and the tendons right out of his back. And they give him those stripes. These men had done this, according to what I understand and read, were like big burly football players. They were Roman legionnaires. And they whipped that and they ripped and they tore. And Jesus saw that. He knew that was coming. He knew the pain. He knew the anguish. But I'm going to tell you, he loved you enough tonight. He consecrated deep enough in the garden. Not my will, but thine be done. He knew the only way to accomplish and finish it up and to do what needed to be done was to give his all to God and to suffer like he had to suffer. They beat him, scourged him, however you want to say it. He looked in that cup and he saw that. And he kept on praying. Saints, deep consecration takes more than a 5-minute prayer. You're going to have to pray sometimes till you pray. And then you're going to have to keep praying till you can definitely say, not my will, but thine be done. Pray on, child, pray on. Jesus set us an example, a great example in that He did not quit, praise God. He didn't give up. The devil, no doubt, was fighting Him. It doesn't really say that here, but I could be wrong, but I think Satan was around doing everything he could do to stop Jesus from going to that cross. Oh, He was there, don't you know? You don't want to be scourged. Well, they're going to spit on you. Well, they're going to buffet you and smile. Well, think about that crown of thorns right down on your head. Think about the pain. Oh, you've seen pictures of the blood streaming down His face. You've seen the pictures of the blood streaming down His back. Oh, tonight, the pain that He knew He was going to face, most people would reel and run the other way. He knew what it was going to be. He knew the torment. He knew the anguish. He knew what He was going to face. And then they were going to nail Him to a big old cross. Then the humiliation. Then He was put between two thieves, a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hung between two thieves. He didn't even do anything to die, much less die between two thieves. And then the death of the cross was the most horrible death that a human could suffer at that time. Saints, He saw all that. He looked in that cup. And He examined that and looked at it. And like I said, I believe old Satan was right there with Him, buffeting Him every step of the way. He not only prayed, but He prayed till He prayed through. He didn't stop, praise God. He went back the third time. He's done it because He loved you with the joy that was set before Him of the glorious plan of salvation that He could see your soul saved, your soul blessed, you working for God, you living for God, doing everything God wanted you to do. He saw that and He would not stop till He completed the plan. Thank the Lord. Now then, some people think, well, I will never face that. Yes, you will. And what I mean by that statement, excuse me, is you don't know how you're going to die. Now, if you're going to trust God, if you're going to do what God wants you to do and trusting Him, heart, soul, mind, and body, you may do like Sister Imogene. All right, now let's not talk about that, Brother Carl. Consecration. Yeah. This is what it takes to live for God.
Lord,
oh, my uncle. Uncle Nathan, Gaither Nichols down in Louisiana. Yeah. Uncle Gaither there was cancer, was eating his ear off. I was with him one time. Michael, I'm sure you remember him pretty good. And Christy, you do. And, well, no, that's been quite a few years ago. You've been pretty young. You do remember him, though. Don't you? Just a little. Okay, thank you, ma'am. Anyway, he was, that cancer was eating that ear off. And I was with him quite a bit, about a week before he died. Well, he died a week after the camp meeting, and I was down there in the camp meeting, that camp meeting, and went and stayed with him some at that time. And we were there in about 10 o'clock in the morning, best I remember, he looked up at the clock and he said, "Darl," he says, "it is only 10 o'clock in the morning. The pain, the suffering. I don't want to scare you, saints, but I want to try to bring the reality that Jesus faced this. And you do not know what you're going to face. That's the reason I'm pleading with you tonight to make a consecration to the depth of death, because you don't know what you're going to face. You don't know the pain, the anguish. Oh, He went to the cross. Listen, you and I, our death may be the largest cross we ever have. We may suffer. And I don't believe Jesus will let you suffer above what you can bear, because the Bible declares that. But I'm going to tell you tonight, Uncle Gaither, he suffered. And in about a week, Brother Salvatore Didio told me, just before Brother Vader and I left to come home, he said, "Carl, when I first come to that meeting," he said, "he's got a little while. Maybe he gave me a time period. I don't remember that, but I do know this. When I got ready to leave on that, I probably was there on Saturday, left early Sunday, best I remember. And I was there. He said, let me tell you something. He said, I want you to go home and tell your mama and your daddy to pack their bag because Brother Gaither will be dead in less than a week. He died just short of a week. He hit it perfect. And Uncle Gaither went on out to see Jesus and be with him. But he had to make a consecration. He had to make a consecration to die that type of death. Sister Imogene had to make a consecration to be able to do. I've watched her for 40-something years. I've been blessed by her life. I heard her stand up one time. It's her, Sister Dilly One, and the preacher, Sister Imogene, and they stood up, she did, on a Sunday morning, Brother Leslie, and she goes, I need more of the love of God. And I looked at her in total shock. I thought, the great saint you are. And I was pretty young in the Lord then. I thought, how could you need more love of God? And she was just so sweet about it. I just need more love. I don't remember she went to the altar, but I remember her saying that. That touched me deeply. Touched me deeply. Oh, I don't want to ruin this message, but I'm begging you tonight. Can I get my burden across at the depth of consecration that Jesus made? You and I are going to have to make the same type of death, more than likely. Some of us may die instantly. Some of us may get killed in a car wreck or some kind of accident. I don't know. You may never face that, but you will face some depths of consecration that will take serious, serious prayer and serious, serious consecration on your part to be able to continue on pleasing God the rest of your life. Amen. And you may have to do like Jesus. You may have to pray 3 times. You might have to pray 4 times. You might have to pray more than that because of what you face. And the thing of it is, he could see what he was going to go through. You can't totally see what you'll go through. You, the devil, will present some things, and you can imagine some things, but you never can know what Jesus knew in his life because he could see what he was facing. He knew what he was going to go through. Consecration tonight. Oh, Lord, help us to have the depths, saints and young people, of consecration that will carry us through all the way to the end of our life, pleasing to God. Jesus got the victory at Gethsemane that night. I'm thankful for that victory. I'm thankful he didn't quit. What's in your cup? What's in our cup? There are some people that lose a job. Maybe have had a job for many, many years. There have been people that were working toward retirement and got cut. Right down almost to ready to collect and everything, boom, they give them a cut. That's happened quite a bit in the last few years. Used to, that was not. But now then, that's more common than it used to be. There are some people that are going to lose their homes to fire. Repossess. There is maybe some people that will face life with no companion. Sister Janice back there told me a while back that was one of the hardest things for her. Not being married. Young people, I plead with you. A good companion is a great thing. Can be a great blessing. But if God so chooses you to go without a companion, you're going to have to consecrate to the depths. There's going to be tears. There's going to be anguish. There's going to be pain of heart, so to speak. But if he so chooses that, I plead with you, stay with Jesus and follow him and do what he wants you to do. There is people that have no children. That can be very hard, especially on the wife. There have been people that have gone through bad car wrecks. Nearly got killed. We've got 2 of them, 3 of them right here in this sanctuary. They were nearly killed. They have to consecrate and keep consecrating, no matter how bad it is, all the way. What about a business failing? What about maybe bad hurt in some type of other accident? What about a sickness? What about suffering? There is times that, like Uncle Gaither, Sister Imogene, maybe you want to die with what you've got, but you're going to suffer for a while. You're going to have to consecrate to that. Excuse me. Last summer, I was doing some cleaning in a house. Cleaning the shower. And normally in a pretty good size walk-in shower, get to the low part, I would kind of squat down and clean that. And I had noticed, as I thought back, I noticed at times that I'd had some pain, but it always go away. Well, the Tuesday, Tuesday or Wednesday, after the camp meeting last summer, evidently I strained a ligament or a tendon in this foot. Somewhere from about my ankle up to about here was just burned like fire. And I didn't know at first what I'd done. I didn't think it was a sciatica, but I really didn't know what it was. Kind of let up, and I went to bed, and oh, it gave me trouble that night. Well, I called Sister Karen the next morning, help. So I explained it all. She said, well, I think all you've done is strained it. I think you popped it or ripped it or tore it or what all they call it. So I think you've strained it. Is there any black or blue? No. Any fever, I believe she asked? No. There was nothing that my wife or I could see that you would know anything was wrong, but I was suffering immense pain. Pain that would keep me up for hours at night. Pain that would give me trouble during the day. This went on hour after hour after hour. Sometimes he would give some relief. Sometimes he would let me suffer. It took consecration to God, of saying, Lord, have mercy. I'm going to tell you, it's some of the hardest suffering I've ever suffered. And I've gone through, I thought, some pretty hard suffering back in 87. And back when I had my sciatica and this leg, I had gone through some things. But I tell you, folks, that was rough. It was terrible. Oh, I would cry. And there wasn't a whole lot of relief sometimes. I would go from the couch to the bed, to the recliner, I would actually sit up in a chair and lay my head over on the back of the couch to get any sleep. And I dreaded the thought of going to Monarch. And I started getting better, and I thought, well, Becky, we can go. And I got there, folks, and that thing kicked in the night that I stood up on the first Monday night, the altar call. I stood up by Brother Larry there, and that thing kicked in there, and one night I didn't get any sleep all night long. I might have dozed a hair bit, but I'm going to tell you all those fears that I feared. No recliner, no extra room, shut up in a travel trailer, 28 foot long or whatever it is. I feared that before I went, and here I was in the middle of it, consecrating to God. Whatever you want, Lord. Whatever you want. I'm willing to consecrate to this pain and to this suffering. I called three ministers the next morning for prayer. They come. We visited a little bit. They anointed me and they prayed for me. And I believe I got a touch right there. And things began to improve again and went on. And then I got over it eventually. The Lord helped me. I don't want to paint too dark a picture. But I don't want you to just have a ice cream cone with sugar on top and a cherry on top of that. I said, boy, Brother Carl preached us a nice one. I can consecrate, no problem at all. Folks, consecration can be very deep sometimes. Maybe a consecration to the ministry. A call to the work of God, whether it be to sing, whether it be to preach, whether it be to teach, whatever it might be. Maybe it is the missionary work. Oh, tonight your consecration is what's going to bring you through to the very end with victory. That's what it's going to be, is a depth of consecration. Jesus, He made a superior or a supreme example of the depths of consecration for you and I to follow. You're going to look at that cup. In that cup may be something that scares you to death, so to speak. But I want to plead with you tonight. Make a consecration and keep consecrated till you can go right on and defeat the devil and have victory. Praise God. Let's go to Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I'm begging you tonight, in the name of Jesus, pleading with you, brethren, young people, middle-aged people, older people, the mercy of God has got you where you're at tonight. If it hadn't have been for that mercy, you and I wouldn't be here. Thank the Lord for His mercy tonight. His mercy has got you to a place, either just here for service. He's got you to a place of living for God. He's got you saved. He's got you sanctified. But no matter how saved and sanctified, you still got to consecrate daily sometimes. By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. He wants you to bring everything, your body, your heart, your mind, your soul, everything that you have, your temple, that the Holy Ghost wants to move in and live in and guide and work. He wants you to present that to God, a living sacrifice. The only way it can be alive is you've got to be saved. A sinner don't do this. This has got to be a saint. Somebody that's saved. You may not be saved a long, long time. You may not be an old person or a middle-aged person, but the bottom line is you've got to be saved. Holy. Again, the only way you can present something holy is to have the blood of Jesus and you to be washed in that blood. It's got to be acceptable unto God. The only way you can bring something acceptable to God is that He has touched and worked and saved and redeemed, which is your reasonable service. Which is your reasonable service. He gives us everything we've got. Yes. As far as this body, I'm talking about, not everything else. I'm just talking about you from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. He gives you everything you've got. He blessed you as far as being normal and healthy. He give you the voice you've got, the mind you've got. He give you everything that your body has. He give it to you. It's a gift of God. It was given by God. It's your reasonable service to give that back to God. To give it to God. Here, Lord, is me. I want to give you everything tonight. It's your reasonable service for you to give back to God. Let Him have what He's given you in the first place. And there is people that have natural gifts to speak, to sing, to maybe pray, whatever. And those natural gifts are given to you by God. And you may have a natural gift, but what those gifts need to be done is they need to be given back to God, put on the altar, and then God can take what He gives you to start with, and He can anoint that, and He can bless that, and He can use that, praise God. But it all comes to God, from God to begin with. It didn't come from you. Well, I was born that way. No, it come from God. It come from God. There have been some men that's been eloquent speakers, but they had to put it all on the altar and have that anointing to really make it effectual. You've got to have that anointing. You've got to have that power. You've got to have that working of the Spirit of God. I don't care how great a mental mind you've got. I'm going to tell you the greatest, wise people we got need to handle that with great humility and consecration. It's the only way to handle great wisdom. Only way to handle great talent. As far as that goes, there's people that have had great talents among the saints that's been able to be great preachers among us or great singers. The only way to handle that is with great consecration and humility. Oh, Lord, help us tonight. It's only reasonable for you to give back to God what He's already given you. That's your reasonable service. Give it to God. Here it is, Lord, I give it all to you. I want you to take it. I want you to do whatever you want with it. It's yours, Lord. You give it to me. God paid a supreme sacrifice for you. When He showed me that vision, that day, out there in Oregon, when He told me, He said, I died for you, child. That made everything look different in my mind. He died for you, and it's your reasonable service because of that death and because of everything He suffered. And now then, He's your mediator and He's your personal God and your personal Savior. He died for you to save you, sanctify you, to give you grace, power, and authority, to take you and work with you in any way He wants to do. It is His body, so to speak. He wants to live and dwell and bless and work in you in every way. And it's reasonable, only reasonable, that we give Him all of that while you have it. Brother Gordon, one night, several years ago, I've heard him tell this, he cut his finger. It was bleeding. And he made this statement. He said, Lord, why did I cut my finger? And the Lord spoke to him and said, you give it to me, didn't you? It's mine to do what I want. Now that seems like a simple comparison, but the bottom line is everything down to the pinky belongs to God. Everything that God give you is His, dear ones, and we need to consecrate it back to God. Let's finish in 2 Timothy 2 and 21, please. Well, 2 and 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some of honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, any of the bad things of the wood, the earth, purge himself from these, purge himself from any doctrine, purge himself from anything that is wrong in any way, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Oh, that's what the Lord wants tonight. He wants us to give that to Him. He wants us to be a vessel unto honor. A vessel that is filled with God. A vessel that has the Word of God. Buy the truth and sell it not. He wants you to live and die a saint. And the only way we can do that is to be consecrated to God.